Okay, so I'm recording. This is a WAV file, which you'll be able to download. You can stream it off the web, but it probably won't work, right? So download the file, play it in VLC or Windows Media Player, and you are good. Okay, anybody have any questions about Blackboard? You're pretty good with that? All right, usually I have two projectors. Today I have one projector. So I'm going to have to switch windows back and forth, which will be just a little awkward because this one is even over on the other display. Let's go here. All right, let's see where this opens up. Fantastic. All right, now what about some pictures? Hopefully it will open up. Oh, it's on the other window. Okay, let's start talking about some things. I see a couple terms right here, anatomy and physiology. And these are scientific disciplines, and they are different, but they are related. Who knows what anatomy refers to? It's the study of structure. Like if you want to know the anatomy of this building, you know where the rooms are, where the pillars are, where the desks, the chairs are, that kind of thing. So anatomy is the study of structure, and that's what this class is all about. We're going to learn about the pieces that make up a human being. Right. And then we have another discipline called physiology. Physiology is a little bit different. It's the study of function, of how an organism works. Not just the parts, but how these parts work together to maintain life. So that is physiology. All right, so if physiology is function, then you should really know anatomy first. Anatomy will determine what the physiology is of some particular item. So for instance, here I have a hand, really nice hand. I got all my fingers still. That's fantastic. I grew up in a machine shop, so it wasn't guaranteed I was going to have all my fingers, but I was really careful. Right? I still have my thumb, so I can grab things, and I can write very nicely. Right? So I have these five fingers. What happens to the function of my hand if I remove this thumb? Does the function change? Yeah, now I can't grasp things quite the same way. Right? So anatomy determines what the function is. If you change the anatomy, you change the function. And that could be the anatomy of a molecule or a cell, right, or some kind of tiny structure, or it could be something big like the heart. But there's going to be some kind of structural change if the physiology of that molecule changes, if the function of that molecule changes. So shape is very, very important. And so that's why we start by looking at anatomy. And I'll talk about some physiology in this class, but mostly just structure. There are different branches of anatomy, different ways to look at anatomy. Right? Microscopic anatomy is looking at things that are very small, and you need an instrument, you need a microscope to magnify what you're looking at. Developmental anatomy is the study of how people change through their lifetime, right? From when they're born, which is really, really tiny, to when you get in your 70s and 80s, your body changes. Embryology is the study of changes of a fetus. What happens, how their body changes before they're born. That's embryology. Surface anatomy is kind of fun. Okay, surface anatomy, you'll be able to identify some parts of your body, maybe about by palpation or by looking, right? Like you got a pointy elbow right here. That's some surface anatomy. And if you know surface anatomy, you know what's underneath it. That's the cool thing about surface anatomy. It gives you a clue as to what's happening deep inside. All right, and then the first one, but I left it to last, is gross anatomy. And this class can be gross at times, right? But that's not what this means. Gross just means big, the kind of anatomy you can see with your naked eye. So it could be surface anatomy, right? But it's certainly not microscopic anatomy. So gross anatomy would be like your heart, your stomach, your nose, okay, hair, nails, that kind of thing, right? Because you don't need any special kind of instruments to see those things. we like to study the human being, right? And you think a human is simple or complex?
Complex.
Complex. Yeah, if you just try to understand all the structures in a human and all the functions, it's just bewildering. So whenever you have a big complicated problem, it is good to break that problem down into smaller pieces, and maybe even smaller pieces. And then look at all the pieces. Once you understand how all the pieces work, add them together, and you have a better understanding of the whole object that you're looking at, right? So break things down, even like your finances, right? If you want to really understand your finances, break it down in how much gas you got to buy every week, how much for rent, food, blah, 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 right? And then you'll really have a good understanding of your finances. All right, so for anatomy, it's the same thing. We're going to break your body down first into very small objects, right? Chemicals. We're going to be looking at some chemicals that are really important, like H2O. What is H2O? Yeah, everybody knows that. H is just a representation for hydrogen. O is for oxygen. You don't have to know many chemicals in this class. In physiology, you do, but everybody's familiar with H2O. But we're going to talk about chemicals like cholesterol, right, and calcium, which is not on the... Oh, yeah, here it is. Calcium right here. You don't have to know the chemical symbols, but when I say calcium, you should know where it's important in your body. Does anybody know where calcium is important in your body? Bones, for sure, bones. All right, we're going to embellish that thought as we go along. All right, and if we take a bunch of chemicals, put them together, we get something called an organelle. Still part of microscopic anatomy. Chemicals you can't see with a microscope, they're too small. But if you put a bunch together, you can get an organelle. These are the building blocks of a cell, right? And here are some organelles. Nucleus contains genetic material. Genetic material determines the structure of your body. That information is inside a nucleus. So the nucleus determines what the shape of your body is, right? And if the nucleus determines the shape of your body, what else does the nucleus control? Look at this right here. If it determines the anatomy, it determines the physiology, right? So a lot of people just say, well, the nucleus controls the activities of the cell. And that's sort of true, but it's got to go through anatomy first, right? And that's what the nucleus is important for. Some other organelles that we're going to look at, right? If we take a bunch of organelles and put them together, we get a cell. And a cell is a basic living unit of all life. If something is alive, it's got to be a cell. And we're going to spend a lot of time looking at cell next time, so I don't want to get into it too much. All right, but if we put a bunch of organelles together, what do we get? A cell, right? If we put a bunch of chemicals together, what do we get? An organelle, right? So use the concept of building block. What's the building block of an organelle? Chemicals. What's the building block of a cell? Organelles. And if you break a cell down, you get organelles, right? So it should be able to move up and down in this organizational chart. If we put a bunch of cells together, and the cells all have the same shape, ooh, what does that mean? They have the same function, right? So if you put a bunch of cells together and they all have the same shape and function, usually we say that, but that's redundant, right? If they have the same shape, they have the same function. That's like, I lived in a place in Boulder, Colorado, right? And it was a nice neighborhood. It was called Table Mesa. Now, those of you that know Spanish know that's kind of silly because where did I live? I lived in Table. Right. So when you say, when you put a bunch of cells with the same structure, that means they have the same function. So if you put a bunch of cells together with the same structure and function, you get a tissue. All right. So the building block of a tissue is a cell, but all these cells are the same, or very close to being the same. If we put up, and what are some tissues? Oh, this is really nice. There's only four kinds of tissues in your body. So you could point to some part of your body, my body. I could tell you what tissue it is, right? Epithelium covers surfaces. Connective tissue connects things together, like muscle to bone is connective tissue. That's called a tendon. And muscle is a nice tissue all by itself. It's specialized. What does anybody know what good muscle is for? What does it do?
Pulling.
Yep. Okay. I hear a lot of good things. But the way I'm thinking is like really basic. A muscle contracts. That's what it likes to do. And when it contracts, it can cause angulation, it can cause movement and things like that. But I like to think of the very basic kind of thing a muscle does. And We'll see a number of different kinds of muscles, but they contract. And nervous tissue. So you got epithelium, connective muscle, and nervous tissue. Nervous tissue's main function is to send information long distances in your body fast, like to send a signal from your brain to the tip of your toe. You don't have to wait around for that signal to get there, right? So your brain can control your toe. Those are the major kinds of tissues. If we put a bunch of tissues together, what do we get? We get an organ, right? So we put cells together with at least two different kinds of shapes. Those are going to have different functions. That's going to make an organ. And let's see, what would be a good organ? Like maybe the brain, for instance. Because brain has blood vessels. It has nervous tissue. Blood is a connective tissue, so it's got a couple different kind of tissues. So what's the building block of an organ? A tissue, yeah. Okay, and if we put a bunch of organs together, we get an organ system. So it's just a group of organs performing a similar kind of function. Like cardiovascular system is responsible for pushing blood around in your body, delivering oxygen different places in your body. It requires pipes and it requires a pump, right? The pump is your heart, pipes are your blood vessels. And then if we put all these organ systems together, for instance, here are some organ systems. If we put all of these organ systems together, like your muscle system, digestive system, skeletal, endocrine system, nervous system, all these together, you get what? You get the organism, right? So you should know what the building block of an organism is, right? And that is an organ system. So what are some of these organ systems? All right, here you have some pictures in your book. All right, and what I'm looking at here, I see some hair and I see some skin right here. That is an organ system. And you should know what this one is called. And this is called the integumentary system. Right? This is not a common one that we use every day. Right? That's why I want to mention it's special. All right, and what can I see over here? Muscle system. Oh, what about here? I see a vertebral column and some hip bones. Right, so here's the skeletal system. Look at these illustrations or pictures right here to understand something about the different kinds of organ systems that you have in your body. Too bad I can't make these pictures any bigger. Okay. Terminology and body plan. Well, anatomy is a special language. You'll have to know how to speak this language. And this is where we're going to start. Anatomic position. I don't need a slide to do this part of the lecture, thank goodness. Anatomic position is a way that you can tell somebody to get from one part of your body to another, right? And depending on what position you're in, you might have to take different routes or different ways of thinking about it, right? If you're bent over or curled up. So anatomic position is a standard position. Think of somebody standing straight up, feet on the ground, and I'm going to be facing forward, hands down by my side, you know, not up like this, not up like that, but down by my side. And the palms of my hands have to be facing toward the front. All right, so that's anatomic position. And when I'm in anatomic position, which way are my thumbs pointing? Okay, up would kind of be like that. To the side. That's a good way of saying it. There's a better way of saying it, but toward the side. So my palms are facing anteriorly. So if I say, move toward my head, you know which way my head is, right? Because I'm not bent over. If you move to my thumb from my little finger, you know what direction to go in, right? Always think in anatomic position. What about anatomic position? That's good. All right, so the front of somebody's body, we call that anterior. The back is posterior. It also has some other names, right? The front could also be called the ventral part of somebody's body. And the posterior part could be called the dorsal part of somebody's body. They're exactly the same. And you can use those two terms in the same sentence even. But I would probably have to stop and think about it if you do that. Right? So kind of pick one or the other. Superior and inferior. Directional terms. Superior means above or toward your head. Inferior means down below or toward your feet. So let's take your nose compared to your belly button. What is your nose compared to your belly button? Superior. It is superior. Belly button is inferior, right? So when we use these terms, we usually compare two structures. That's the best way of thinking about it. Cranial and caudal, pretty much the same as superior and inferior. Cranial means toward your brain, toward your head. Caudal means toward your tail. And of course, you don't have a tail, so this description is not very good for people. It is for dogs and cats and things like that. But sometimes we still use it. Caudal means inferior, mostly, in a human being. And then medial and lateral. Okay. Medial means an organ that is very close to midline. Think of some midline mark on your body. Lateral means away from that midline. Could be either right or left. So in anatomic position, what is your thumb compared to your little finger? Your thumb compared to your little finger. I'm trying to trick you right now. Your thumb is lateral because you got to be in anatomic position. So my thumb is farther away from some midline position in my body. My little finger would be medial with respect to each other. Okay. And proximal and distal. This might be the hardest one to appreciate. Well, there are things that are connected to each other in your body. Right? So for instance, my arm is connected to my forearm is connected to my hand. And if these things are connected like that, it makes sense to use proximal and distal. Blood vessels and nerves, it's appropriate to use proximal and distal. You have a blood vessel that comes off the heart, goes into your shoulder, then your arm, then your forearm, then down into your hand. Okay. If it's distal, it's far away from that central location or attachment point to your body. Right? Distal is far away. Proximal means closer to that attachment point. So if we're just looking at my appendage right here, what is my arm compared to my forearm? My arm is proximal. My forearm is distal. Could you use proximal and distal to talk about the little finger and the thumb? It doesn't make sense because they're not really connected to each other, right? So there has to be that connection from some center location out to some periphery. And that's why sometimes when we take a person's pulse down on their wrist, right, you might be wondering why we call it a distal pulse. It's got other names too. It's called a distal pulse because it's far away from your heart, right? There's more central pulses that you can take, but that's a distal pulse. Sometimes we call it a radial pulse as well. Superficial and deep is good to know. Superficial means on the surface of an organ, and deep means, well, inside. The superficial part of an organ usually is called the cortex, and the deeper part is called the medulla. So the kidney has a cortex, which is superficial, and a medulla, which is deep. The adrenal gland has a cortex and a medulla. The adrenal cortex is the outermost layer. The adrenal medulla is the innermost layer. That's going to be some really good terminology for you to know. All right, body planes. These are pretty good. How many spatial dimensions in this world do we live in? Does anybody, I don't know if you've taken a physics class or anything like that, or if you're, you build buildings or anything. Well, what do we have? You can move forwards and backwards. You can move left and right, and then you can move up and down. So that's three. Right? So there are three directions that you can move. So for instance, if I wanted to tell somebody exactly where this tape dispenser was, what do I have to tell them? Three things. How far right and left, how far it is from front to back, and then what else? How far off the ground is it, right? So there are three planes that make our reality, and with imaging, we can slice people up in various ways, like with an MRI, not literally, but we can take a picture through their body without cutting them, which is really handy. And if we take a picture of a plane that separates them exactly into right and left parts, that's called a sagittal plane. So I'm demonstrating a sagittal plane to you like that. Okay? And that sagittal plane can move over to the left or could move over to the right, but as long as it's still separating right and left from your body, then that's still a sagittal plane. If it's a plane right smack in the middle, because we exhibit nice bilateral symmetry, whatever you have mostly have on the right side, you have on the left side, right? And so there is a line that's just a mirror image of the other side. That's called a mid-sagittal plane or median plane. Mid-sagittal is a sagittal right smack in the middle through your nasal septum between your two front teeth right through the middle of your belly button. That plane is the mid-sagittal. Okay. All right. Well, we could look at somebody and make images like this, like a tabletop, right? And this table can move up and down like that. That's called a transverse section. Transverse section. There's no mid-transverse section because the inferior part of your body is nothing like the superior part. So it doesn't make sense to talk about it like that. Right? So that's transverse, separating superior from inferior, and that's two. Which one? Which? Well, how many more do we need?
One.
Something that separates your anterior from your posterior part of your body. That's called a frontal plane or coronal plane. And again, it can slide forwards or backwards. There's no mid coronal plane because if you separate the front from the back of your body, they're not the same. They're different. Not like right and left. Okay. Parasagittal. Well, we said sagittal is any kind of plane that separates right and left. Mid-sagittal is right in the middle. If it is off the middle, we could call that a parasagittal plane, but that's a little wordy. Most people don't say that. But you might run into that. All right, so those are the body planes. You've got good pictures in your textbook. Okay, look at some figures like 1.4, 1.11, 1.12. Some of these things aren't really obvious. Well, you know where your head is, right? Your head is above your neck. And then here's your neck. Sometimes we call that a cervical region. Your trunk is the center part of your body minus appendages, like your upper appendage and lower appendage. And I don't want to say arm and leg because those have special names in anatomy as well. All right, so your thorax is what holds your lungs and your heart, okay? And that's separated from your abdomen by a nice muscle called the diaphragm. Your abdomen contains basically digestive organs and some other organs to maintain health in your body, like your liver, that's sort of a digestive organ. And then down below that is the pelvis, which contains reproductive organs and maybe some digestive organs as well. All right, so that's the very center part of your body. And then attached to the trunk, you have limbs. All right, so you might consider this whole thing your arm. But guess what? This is not your arm. Where is your arm? Your arm is strictly from your shoulder to your elbow. That's your arm. So if I point down over here, that's not your arm. That is your forearm. Between your elbow and your wrist, that's a forearm. Okay, and then your hand. Hand makes sense. Okay, that's a nice anatomical term. All right, your lower appendage. You might want to call that your leg, but it's not your leg. Between your hip and your knee, okay, certainly not your leg, that's what we call a thigh. That's your thigh. From your knee to your ankle, that's your leg. All right, so it's a little strange when you think about those. Body cavities. All right, this is an extra credit drawing for you guys in lab this week. And I can't show you the really nice picture, but I can sort of draw something out for you. All right, so I'll draw something on the board. Hard to erase whiteboard marker. Okay, so we can have an anterior view and look at some body cavities, or we can have a view from the side. That's what we call a lateral view. Let's look at the lateral view first because that's what you have to draw on a blank piece of paper in lab this week. Okay. All right, so you got something. Let me know how well you can see this. I can maybe turn on some more lights. You got something that looks like that, okay? And you got something that looks like this. And then you got something that looks like that, right? And then here's the cranium. Here's somebody's nose, for instance. Can you see that in the back? Sorta? Does that help maybe a little bit? Okay, so here are some cavities. Maybe open up your textbook to that picture, all right? So here are some cavities. And the purpose of a cavity is that it holds organs, like your stomach and liver, brain, spinal cord, lungs, heart, that kind of thing, right? But typically not skeletal muscle. Skeletal muscle is not in a body cavity. It's more on the surface of your body. So here's a nose. What part of your body is your nose, anterior or posterior? Anterior, right? So here's going to be the anterior part of the body. Here is the posterior. So instead of anterior, what's another name for anterior? Ventral. So all of these cavities right here are make up the ventral body cavity. And then this one and this one here make up the dorsal body cavity. Well, we can have cavities inside cavities, and we have even cavities inside that, right? So the dorsal body cavity is broken up into this thing that holds your brain, and this thing here that holds your spinal cord. This thing is called the cranial cavity. Cranial cavity, and this is the vertebral. So think in terms of building blocks. What are the building blocks of the dorsal body cavity? The cranial cavity and vertebral cavity. Those are the building blocks for the dorsal body cavity. What are the building blocks for the ventral body cavity? I didn't draw it on the board yet. All right, so let's do that. So this one right here contains your heart and your lungs. This is the thoracic cavity. And then here's a really nice line that separates the thoracic cavity from the one that's inferior to it. A nice big muscle, skeletal muscle, and that's the diaphragm. That's not a body cavity, that's a muscle. Right? But there's a cavity down below it. This one right here is the abdominal. And down over here is pelvic. So what are the building blocks of the ventral body cavity?
Thoracic.
Abdominal, pelvic. Notice there's nothing separating the abdominal cavity from the pelvic cavity. If something's happening over here, it could be happening up over here as well. If you have an appendicitis and the appendix bursts in your abdominal cavity, it also carries infection into the pelvic cavity. Right? If there's an infection in the pelvic cavity, it's easy to get up into the abdominal cavity because there's nothing separating it. So this can be considered a single cavity. In anatomy, here's some really good terminology. If we're talking about an area in the body that's composed of a couple different things, but it's important to talk about them together because they're really one thing, we can take those two terms and put them together as long as we put an O between that word. So here we have the abdominal cavity and pelvic cavity. Another way of saying those two things together is the abdominal, there's that O, pelvic. Abdominal pelvic cavity are those two cavities put together. And sometimes there's another term that we use for abdominal pelvic cavity, and that is the peritoneal cavity. Peritoneal. That's in your book. All right, so this is, what kind of view is this? Lateral view. Nice lateral view. All right, well, let's do a frontal view and see what kind of cavities we have. And you know what? For the frontal, I'm not going to draw the dorsal. I'm just going to focus on the ventral parts right here. Okay. So what's the most superior one? Kind of looks like this. Okay. Yeah, skull's up over here. Vertebral column is here. Okay, here's a good hint. This will give you a chance. Diaphragm. All right, so here is. I probably want to put a bracket. That's thoracic. Thoracic cavity. And remember, there can be cavities inside cavities. And there are lungs in here, and there's also a heart. They're in their own separate cavities. So here is a cavity that the lung is in, and then the other one is over here, like so. Right? And this is what we call the pleural cavity. I'm not going to write cavity. Right, so pleural cavity is inside the thoracic cavity. This one right here that holds the heart, so I'll put a little heart right there, that's the pericardial cavity. Where should I put it? Peri means surrounding, pericardial, cardium, myocardium refers to heart, so pericardial cavity is the cavity that the heart is sitting in. Right. And where is the heart compared to these two lungs? Yeah, medial. It's right smack in the middle, right? So there is another cavity that we like to consider right here. This cavity separates the right and left pleural cavities from each other. You probably haven't run into this term, but if you know that term, that's great. That's a really important cavity. I can't say it's more important than any of the others, but it's real, real important. That's called the mediastinum. Mediastinum. All right, so unless you take an anatomy class, you've never heard of that term, I'm sure. All right, what did we call the skin organ system? Integumentary system. That term you haven't heard before either. All right, so the things that you haven't heard before are the things that I like to put on the test to make me see that you guys are learning things, right? That's the important part of taking this class. Mediastinum. Your book breaks it down into superior mediastinum, but typically we just talk about that whole thing as the mediastinum. So you got the pericardial cavity inside the mediastinum. Right, mediastinum is inside the thoracic cavity with the pleural cavities. Right, so you can have a lot of cavities inside other cavities. So why is this mediastinum so important? Because it has the heart. Right, it also has great blood vessels coming off the top of the heart. We call that the base. A lot of blood vessels coming off the base of the heart. Right, and you might be in a delivery room someplace and somebody's going to say, we need a scan of the mediastinum stat. So where are you interested in looking in that newborn? Interested in looking at the heart and blood vessels coming off the heart. There can be malformations of the blood vessels or the heart or both, right? And you can tell by running a first, you know, an Apgar score to find out, right? And then you need a nice scan to see what's going on right there. Okay, so those are cavities. And then what are two down over here? You've got abdominal and pelvic cavity, right? Or peritoneal cavity. So if we put abdominal and pelvic cavity and mediastinum and right and left pleural cavities together, what do we get? We get the ventral body cavity. So just think in terms of building blocks. Just kind of orient yourself in terms of building blocks. That will help a lot in this class. Okay, what time are we done in class here? Does anybody know? 12:05. Okay, we have a lot of nice time. So maybe I'm going to try to get to this other projector, since that's mostly what I needed to cover today. Can't get to it. All right, so we covered your online materials. Blackboard, make sure you know how to mouse around in there. Like for today's lecture, you probably would have wanted to print out some of these lecture notes. And where would you find those? Okay, lecture slides right here. Probably should have worked over some questions on this pre-lecture reading assignment. If you do these pre-lecture reading assignments before lecture, they'll be really helpful. But if you do the pre-lecture reading assignments the night before the test, that will not be helpful. Right, so these things will help orient you to lecture, but they're not nearly at the level, right, that of the knowledge that you need to pass the test. So this is just a beginning part, beginning point for studying these chapters. Yeah. Okay, if I give you an ad code and you register today, you'll be able to get into Blackboard tomorrow. Okay, maybe late tonight, because they're two different programs and they got to shake hands. And that doesn't happen continuously. It happens at certain times during the day. Yeah. Just like when I input grades, I input them, and then it takes a while for them actually to get into your transcript when that happens. Okay. So start working on weekly assignments. Do you have an assignment due this week? Yeah. When is it due? Thursday by 11 p.m. That's right. On chapter 1. That should be easy. Maybe just by listening to lecture, I hope. Okay, that will allow you to get through that. But can you take week number two online quiz this week? Yes. And it's important, right? Because you always want to stay 1 week ahead of time. That way you never miss a quiz. Like for weekly assignments?
Yeah.
Let's go into weekly assignments. I think I have lecture notes for you to download right there. So we're in... Okay, hold on, you guys. Oh, yeah, you won't... No, because you can't get into Blackboard. Yeah, because you registered today. Maybe late tonight. But tomorrow morning you can get in. And this quiz will be available, and this one too.
And if that's the only thing that I would do,
The extra credit syllabus, the instructions say September 3rd. So you get like a week and a half to do the syllabus quiz. But this first one right here, just because I want 16 of these modules, because there's 16 weeks, and I want to keep the deadline always constant on a Thursday. The first one is Thursday this week. That's chapter 1. Okay. All right, so that means those people that have to register, you can't wait around, because the deadline is coming up pretty fast. Yeah. Question?
If I'm on the wait list for Class A for Wednesday's lab, can I go to a lab today?
Absolutely. Yeah, if you can attend regularly this lab, last lab on Monday, if you can get in that one, then for sure take advantage of that. Yeah.
So it would actually benefit me more than the Wednesday successful.
Yeah, that's when you're on the wait list. You're not on the wait list for today. Okay, usually I have a sign-in sheet, but I didn't pass it out. Okay, so there's no sign-in sheet. Usually I'm going to pass around a sign-in sheet. Make sure you sign it in lecture, and that will be, okay, that will be your receipt that you are here in class. So if I drop you because I think you're not in class, you can say, oh, well, look, I signed here on that day, I signed here on this day. Why did you drop me? And then I would have to think of a really good excuse or get you back in class. All right, we're kind of lucky in this class, okay, because you have, you got three instructors for this class, which is pretty cool. So you got me for lecture, and what do you have for online? Blackboard. So Blackboard's like an instructor for you as well. And then we have another person that will instruct you in anatomy, and that is your supplemental instruction leader. Right, so this is some different kind of learning techniques like group activities and things like this that you will not do in lecture here but in another location at another time. And your SI leader is right here. Okay, so Adriana is here and she's going to tell you a little bit about supplemental instruction.
Hi everyone. My name is Adriana and I am the SI leader for the semester. Anybody familiar with the SI program? Anybody heard about it? Taken it? Okay. Two of you. For those of you that don't know, Cypress College is really great because they offer supplemental instruction for the classes that are typically harder, such as this one that has a lot of information, but you're lucky you have Dr. Grover. So it's absolutely free. And what it is like this semester, it's two-hour sessions. They are voluntary also, so you can drop in. You can come every week if you like. I absolutely encourage that. Or if your schedule is very demanding, maybe once a week. What I end up doing is I have a lot of group activities, like a lot of mnemonic games, different ways for you to absorb and retain the information, as that might be fun for you, but also will help you in different ways than the information that Dr. Grover has on Blackboard and in his lecture. It is, unfortunately, we're on a very tight schedule. We already have the date set. It's going to be Mondays and Wednesdays from 12:30 to 2:30. And they haven't given me a room yet, but it doesn't start till next week, so hopefully by this time on Wednesday, I'll have more information for you. So it's Monday, Wednesday, 12:30 to 2:30, and I know some of you do have lab at that time, but hopefully you can make it at least once a week if you're interested. And they haven't given me an email yet either, but if you need to ask me a question about SI or just, you know, shoot me an email for whatever reason that pertains to this, my email is my name. Hope you can see. Can everyone see that? Is that okay? Yep. Adriana C. Milan at MSN. And like Dr. Gober said, I'm the only anatomy SI on campus, so you guys are really lucky because it's for this class, and people who attend SI regularly, the statistics have shown that you can, at average, get 10% higher grades. So that translates into an A if you have a B, and you know, so it's really fun. I took anatomy two semesters ago, and I had SI, and it really helped me a lot. So I hope it helps you too. And thanks.
Thank you. Definitely, it will help you. Like if you're learning a language. And you sit down with a book with just words and you learn how to pronounce all the words and how to spell them, okay, do you really understand that language? No, you got to put the words together, you got to make sense out of things. So in SI, you get to put all these things together and actually learn how to speak anatomy, work with the information. So that helps you a lot on the lecture exams. And the other cool thing is that it is free, and students typically get a one-letter grade better when they routinely go to SI. So there's really no downside if you have that time to go. Yeah, question? For lab, I would like you to bring your textbook because you'll use that as a reference to understand various structures we're going to be looking in lab. In lecture, you do not have to bring your textbook because usually I'm able to show the slides on the board right here. So somebody's going to have to come in and fix the projection system for me. So you don't have to. Most of everybody bought from the bookstore, so it's a loose leaf binder, so you could just bring in the materials that you're going to be using that day. As long as you know to put it back. Don't lose it. All right, so then you don't have to carry the whole book around. So for lab, crucial to bring the lecture book. Not so much for lecture. Yeah, yeah. Unless you're particular and you really like to make notes or something while I'm talking about it. Yeah, so not necessary. Yeah, another question.
Do you use the online book at all? Like for the, like there's an online access code?
Yeah, you guys got an online access code for free.
Right.
And I'm going to be putting some exercises in there, which might kind of duplicate what I have online already, I'm not sure. But drag and drop interactive exercises.
Like
and there'll be an
credit.
E-book. There'll be an e-book in there as well.
Okay.
And some other kinds of learning techniques called adaptive learning techniques that I would like for some of you to try.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so that's it for lecture for today.
I was in your lab earlier, and then I heard you had a sign sheet, but I'm not sure if I signed it. Did you have a sign sheet?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have it with me. So next time, make sure you do.
Okay.
Okay?
Because I just added the class. I just added the class to add it.
Yeah. Good. Well, I know you added. I'll know by the registration code.
All right, I'll remember.